obvious today.
Yeah. Okay. We'll open up the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation for Monday, February 9th. And I'm going to begin by opening up a work session for possible reconsideration of Senate Bill 136.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 136.
Senator George's move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 136. Motion is not debatable. If there's any objection to the motion, not, the rules are suspended. Senator George.
Mr. Chair, having voted on the prevailing side, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we pass Senate Bill 136.
Okay, Senator George has moved to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 136 was passed. Is there any discussion? If not, then so ordered, and the bill is back before the committee, and my intentions on the bill are clearly, as a result of our discussion, that there's still some work to be done on the bill. So it's back in our possession, and we'll deal with it later. Okay, let's open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 202, and we'll get our sheets, but I know this one gentleman who will be coming forward, and he's already here. Welcome.
Thank you, Senator Metzger, members of the committee. Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. I'm joined today on my right with Kathy Darlene, Policy Analyst for the Construction Contractors Board. Kathy's worked on all of these bills, some of the language, and is here for support and perhaps to answer some of the questions you may have. You know, we have had perhaps the largest amount of change in the Construction Contractors Board law over the last 2 years that we've had in 30 years. That is a result of the bill that created commercial and residential distinctions, as well as the Task Force on Construction Claims legislation. So the bills that you're going to see today are modifications, tweaks, improvements, we think, to bring to your attention to see if they perhaps can make things a little easier for contractors. The first bill is House Bill 202. The chimney sweep were brought back in to CCB law last session. They still are there. This bill does not change the chimney sweep regulation at all, but it moves the location of that requirement to a different part of the statute. The second issue has to do with the distinction between general contractor and subcontractor. You know, in most states, the specialty contractor is a contractor who does one trade or craft, and a general contractor is more than that. In this state, we expand that. We say it's two trades or crafts, or if an unlimited amount of trades for a dollar amount set by the board. And traditionally, we've had that set at $2,500. This policy choice would restrict that and would require that specialty contractors do no more than two trades or craft. We think that makes some sense. We think it's parallel with what most other states do, but there may be another side to that coin. Can I answer questions about Senate Bill 202?
Well, questions for Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I'll just jump right in here. Mr. Smith came and visited me about Senate Bill 202 this morning, and I appreciate the fact that we did that because brought up this issue of limiting the number of trades for the specialty contractor, and currently, basically, that specialty contractor can do anything if it's under $2,500. And the example that I used when he was in my office is, you know, we're got a roofing contractor that's doing the roof on Grandma Sue's house, and she just happens to have some dry rot on the siding of her house, and since he's there, he's already replacing dry rot on the roof and putting a new roof on. Under this bill, he wouldn't be able to replace the dry rot in the siding no matter what the cost was, and it seems to me that it makes sense to allow that to continue. And so I'd ask Mr. Smith to have some amendments drafted to this particular bill to take that part out of the bill, leave the statute as it is so specialty contractors can continue to do work if it's less than $2,500, no matter what it is. I think it's a pro-consumer bill, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's pro-small business, pro-small contractor. This is not talking about, you know, the big projects where you have, you know, tens of thousands or well, anything over $2,500 for that matter. So I think Mr. Smith has, I hope, asked council to begin the process of drafting that amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. And I had talked to Senator Starr about that. Mr. Smith, just for the record, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, Senator Metzger and Senator Starr, I think that that makes some sense. I think that we can take that back to the board, and I can talk to a few folks about that. We have hand-engrossed some possible amendments, and I plan on taking those in as soon as I can possibly do so.
Other questions for Mr. Smith? Now, Kathleen, do you wish to testify, or are you just here for support?
I'm just here if you need some answers.
Okay, why don't you guys step aside and have Scott Berry and Steve Cafori come forward. Welcome. Whoever wants to go first.
Scott Berry, members of the committee, on behalf of the Oregon Home Builders Association, and I signed up on Senate Bill 202, but really just came up to say that there's industry support for these housekeeping bills with the Construction Contractors Board, all of them, although I will say that there's also support for Senator Starr's amendment that was just brought up recently. So I think that makes good sense, and we would certainly support that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Cafori. I'm here representing the Oregon Remodelers Association. Excuse me. I just want to repeat the testimony that you just heard. Our association is in support of these. I just want to add that our support for Craig Smith generally. He maintains a really, really close relationship with the industry and spends a lot of time with us, letting us know what's going on, seeking our opinions all through the interim, so that when these bills come to the legislature, they've been thoroughly vetted by the industry. And I want you know that we're supportive of his practice of doing that and supportive of these bills.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cafori. Any questions for either of our guests? Okay, thank you. I'd be interested in discussion of the committee. Obviously, we're going to be bringing this bill back. I don't have a sense there's any, and correct me if I'm wrong, any concerns about the committee about just reorganizing the chimney sweep portion of the bill. I would be curious if there's any thoughts of the committee on either the proposal as written in the bill or Senator Starr's amendment, or and if you don't have a thought on it now, that's okay, but just would want to be sure to have members circle back on that. Senator Berger.
Well, I'd really like to commend Senator Starr. I think it's common sense. I think it really is a consumer aspect to the bill, and I'm very much in support of it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Senator. Any other comments? Okay, then I think our general direction will be to get that drafted and bring that bill back. So let's close up the hearing on Senate Bill 202 and open up a hearing on Senate Bill 203. Welcome again.
Chair Metzger, member of the committee, for the record, Craig Smith, Construction Contractors Board. Senate Bill 203 is a change to Oregon lien laws. It's always difficult when you start talking about the lien law. But this is a relatively minor change. It has to do with the consumer protections that were put in place throughout these last many years, but also the big changes that affected the board with the Task Force on Construction Claims. Easiest way to look at this, I think, is to take a look at the chart that's on the second page of my handout to you today. That chart on the bottom of page 2 depicts certain consumer protections that are in place today. One is a written contract. Residential contractors need to use a written contract if the contract price exceeds $2,000. That's something that you lowered here 4 years ago. It used to be $2,500. It's now $2,000, and that makes sense. The information notice to owner about construction liens is a document that's on the last page of this handout, so you know what it looks like. It's something that we've been struggling with for 25 years in this building. It has to do with the pay twice situation. And this is
a situation where, as a contractor, if I do a job for you and you pay me in total, and for some reason I don't pay my subs or suppliers, those folks have a right to put a lien on your property. And we've struggled with this. The best we've been able to do at this point is provide notice to consumers. That makes sense that we do the notice. But the trigger for that notice back in 1984 was set at $1,000. And what this bill would do is raise that up to $2,000. The reason why we think it makes sense to raise it are the following. First of all, the difference in time. What you used to be able to buy for $1,000 25 years ago, certainly you can't even buy for $2,000 today. So that makes some sense to adjust it for inflation. The other thing is, as I indicated in this chart, there are several other consumer protection notices that are triggered at that $2,000 or that written contract requirement. And so it makes sense to put these things all in law at the same time. Trigger those consumer protections at $1,000 level. Can I answer questions?
Okay. Would you comment on your Dash 1 amendment? Is that yours?
Yes.
It says CCB.
Yes. We have several amendments we'd like to consider for Dash 1 amendments. I'm going to let Kathy talk about those at a very broad level. They're not ready to go. We'd like to bring this back if we can, okay. But they have been drafted and in very broad, not ready to be considered yet, but at a very broad level. Let me take a look at that.
Now, is that because the language is not correct or because the policy that's in the amendment is not what you want? Because if it's a policy, if it's just technical changes, we should talk about what you're trying to do here before.
Well, I'd like to do, the answer is both.
Okay.
We haven't had a chance to look at it. We just got them in a matter of a few hours ago. There are four issues that we want to look at. One is expanding the amount of time that a contractor can have a expired license to 2 years rather than just 1 year before they can renew. And the point is that we've had a problem with contractors who have, today, if a contractor has been expired more than 1 year, they can't renew that license. And when you can't renew a license, it costs you more. And some folks want to renew for a variety of reasons in an inactive capacity. This amendment would allow that for a longer period of time. The second issue has to do with sanctions that for a contractor who is out of compliance with workers' comp law. And today, we can only issue a civil penalty. Before the change in the statutes from last season, we could also suspend a contractor for that kind of a omission. And we want to be able to suspend contractors if they're not licensed in the proper independent contractor category. The second has to do with amending 701.305 to delete requirements that written contracts must contain summary of the notices. We did a lot of things last season to try to help out consumers, but we may have gone too far in making it complicated. We require that the notices be provided, and then we also require that the notices be summarized in the contract. Well, that might be overkill, and it certainly adds, there's some other conflicts in the minimum contract requirements for residential contractors that we'd like to take a look at and bring for your consideration. Then lastly, amending 701.330 to delete requirements that a consumer protection notice contain information about a warranty. It isn't that the warranty shouldn't be highlighted, but perhaps that's the wrong place to put it. We think we can come up with a better solution for you on that. Those are the four ideas,
okay.
And we'd like to bring those back to you.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the committee? Okay. I think, and I appreciate what you're trying to do here. It certainly makes sense, you know, the general idea what you're going into. I certainly the renewal, certainly understand the threshold change that has happened over time. What I would ask to do is, since these amendments aren't quite right, as you get your new amendment, and I know you've been very good about this, circulate among the members with that, now that they've at least had an overview of what 203 is, and then we'll chat at that time and work at rescheduling maybe the same time we do 202.
Be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Close public hearing on 203. You might as well stay right there, right? Open up public hearing on Senate Bill 204.
Senator Metzger, member of the committee. It's Craig Smith again with the Construction Contractors Board. Senate Bill 204 is a clarification regarding the new bond requirements. One of the changes that we had last year had to do with separating the commercial contractors from residential contractors. That makes some sense, and of course you decided to do that. The issue here has to do with whether or not the bond for a commercial contractor could go to pay residential damage. And the opposite as well, whether a residential bond could pay for commercial damage. We think that was not your intent. If that were to occur, it could cause an increase in the cost of bonds. What this bill does is it clarifies that the commercial bond is only to pay commercial complaints and the residential for residential complaints. May I answer questions?
You saying we made a mistake?
Say again?
You saying we made a mistake?
No, sir. I'm not
that. Listen, <John. laughs>
Okay. Is there questions about the committee about clarifying that bonds for resident that are purchased for residential defects and ones that are commercial defects apply to those specifics? Any concerns on the committee on that? Let's close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 204.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 204 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 204 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Okay.
Okay.
I'll have Senator Starr carry it, please. All right. Put up public hearing on Senate Bill 206 and ask Mr. Smith.
Senator Metzger, members of the committee, it's Craig Smith with the Construction Contractors Board. Senate Bill 206 is the last in the series of bills we brought to you today. This bill has two important provisions to it. Let me explain that we get personal information about the people that belong to the construction construction companies that we license. In many cases, those companies are limited liability companies or corporations, and they are closely held companies. They might have a couple of members. They could have a half a dozen members, but they have human beings that are ultimately, from the CCB standpoint, may be held accountable if that business ends up with construction debts that aren't paid or discharged in bankruptcy, and those individuals go on to try to form new companies. That's good public policy. We think that makes a lot of sense, but we need to identify those people. There's a lot of Tom Joneses or Craig Smiths, and we need to identify which ones. So we get the driver's license numbers, and we get some of the other personal information to make sure we've got the right individual when we're licensing folks. What this law would do is make that information confidential. Today it's not, and we think that it should be.
Okay, so they're still going to provide it, their social security number, whatever, so that you can do your checks, but currently anybody can come and receive that information without cause, and we have no control over it.
It's open to public records requests.
Right. Questions? I think it's a good identity theft protection bill.
I do, too.
Anybody have any concerns?
Okay. Sorry, Senator Metzger, there's a second part of
it. Oh, that's true.
Well.
Please, yeah.
Yeah. This has to do with that same type of information. The law requires that we get it, and it makes sense for those smaller companies, maybe 10 and under and so forth. But there are some companies that have hundreds of officers. IBM, for example, recently acquired a CCB license, and we have a lot of other large national or international companies that have hundreds, if not more, corporate officers. We don't need the names and personal identifiers for all those people to do the kind of work that we do. So this would set those people aside. Anybody who's registered with the SEC, we would not acquire that information. After all, we can get that from SEC if we need it. So that's the second part of this bill.
Sorry, thank you for that. Any other questions? Okay, we'll close public hearing and open work session on Senate Bill 206.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 206 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 206 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Starr, I'm going to ask you to carry that just since they're back-to-back.
No problem.
Makes it a little easier. Aaron, what about tomorrow or Wednesday?
For Wednesday, Mr. Chair, we have Senate Bill 198 relating to the Oregon Racing Commission, and we have work sessions set on Senate Bill 129, which we heard on January 29th, and Senate Bill 172, which we heard on January 28th.
Okay. Anything else to come before the committee? If not, we're adjourned.